Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Sunday, January 3rd, a special Sunday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It is the third episode of our new concept here called the Nitty Gritty Grind Session, just a condensed version of the normal Locked On Grizzlies podcast that is focused specifically on the Grizzlies game matchups this year, game preview. And tonight, the Grizzlies start a double dose of games, back-to-back games with the Los Angeles Lakers with a day of rest in between. You know, I believe this is the Grizzlies' first experience with where the games count, in which they will be playing back-to-back games with the team. You know, a new aspect of the NBA schedule as a way to combat, you know, the threat of COVID-19. The Grizzlies did it twice, once away, one at home during the preseason. But, you know, for Memphis fans, you know, at the very least, while, you know, you certainly wish you could be in the FedEx Forum watching the game, it will at least be fun to see the Grizzlies playing the reigning champs. And there's plenty of other storylines that go into these games as well. We'll cover that a bit in this Nitty Gritty Grind session. Of course, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz. You can follow myself at StatsSAC. You can follow the show wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. Wherever you choose to listen, we will certainly be there. In these Nitty Gritty Grind sessions, we keep it simple. We talk about the Grizzlies' old offense versus the opposing defense, and then we take a quick break, and then we talk about the opposing offense versus the Grizzlies' defense. But before we get into the Lakers game, it's funny that, you know, with all the injuries that have occurred with the Grizzlies, and that's one big thing that, you know, was revealed yesterday, was that the Grizzlies are going to start getting back a few of their players. De'Anthony Melton is off of the injured list, so he should be available, hopefully without any minutes restriction, starting, you know, in tonight's game. Xavier Tillman is questionable, and Grayson Allen is questionable, so a bit of depth is coming back. But ever since losing Ja back last Monday, we've seen so many different versions of the Grizzlies. We saw a really good competitive team on Monday night that let defense really win them a game against the Nets. We saw a team against Boston that, you know, gave up 22 turnovers and 36 points off those turnovers that basically were ran off the court by the Celtics. And then on Friday night, it felt like it was one of the most convincing Grizzlies wins we've seen in quite a while against an improved Charlotte team. 14 threes made, 34 assists, only the fifth time that the Grizzlies have ever done that in franchise history. So it really is a version of, will the real version of this current Grizzlies roster please stand up? Well, it's going to be hard to see that. That's one thing about this Grizzlies team. It's going to be hard for them to be consistent because they're probably going to run into inconsistencies. At times they're going to look awful, and at times they're going to look great. Hopefully you just hope that there's enough long stretches in certain games, especially the ones that, you know, are winnable, that the Grizzlies are going to be able to win and keep afloat. But yeah, Friday night was a big victory. It was a convincing win. It gave us hope that no matter what opponent that we're playing, we can at least remain competitive. And though it's the fifth game of a 72-game schedule, it really, really was impressive to see how the Grizzlies came together so quickly. And it was important because, you know, 2-3 going into this this back-to-back series with the Lakers is a lot better than 1-4, especially when we won in such convincing fashion after the debacle that we saw in Boston. So the Grizzlies obviously, you know, certainly, have something to hang their hat on, have hopes going into this series. Yeah, there's a good chance that we're going to lose both games. We're certainly going to be the underdog, but we at least know that this team is playing well, and hopefully that will continue. But of course, when it comes to the team that the Grizzlies are playing, the LA Lakers are champions for a reason, and it goes beyond just having two of arguably the five best players in the league, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James. It also goes to the fact that they have tremendous depth. Depth is that is allowing for them to play consistently well on offense, and that's the big thing, you know, with this Lakers team, is that they certainly are an offensive team. We'll get to that in the second segment, but they also do play some pretty decent defense, and so the Grizzlies are going to have to take advantage of the opportunities that they get when it comes to their offense. So far this season, the Lakers are top 10 in opposing field goal percentage allowed, they're top 10 in three-point percentage allowed, and they are 10th in points allowed per game. So the Lakers are definitely, you know, the strength of their team is certainly offensive. But the thing about the Grizzlies is that they're going to be facing a very tough defensive team. And so the Grizzlies are going to have to be, you know, on their P's and Q's, for lack of a better term, to be able to really have a shot in this game. Obviously, that starts with the play of Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, and Dylan Brooks. And as I stated on Friday, you know, the real thing about the Grizzlies when it comes to their offense, they're going to need the consistency of Jonas Valanciunas plus another person to step up between Dylan and Kyle to really have a shot. Well, that was not the case Friday night, but it worked out anyway because the Grizzlies were able to get contributions up and down the roster. I believe that every person on the Grizzlies roster at least had one assist, and I believe all but one that played in the game had at least 8 points. So that's another way in which the Grizzlies really could find success, is if everybody contributes in a positive way. Now, obviously, there were a few folks. Sean McDermott, you know, he looked out of place. There's no doubt about that. He probably is not an NBA talent at this point in time. That's why he's on a two-way contract. But beyond that, the 8 or 9 other players that the Grizzlies are going to play tonight, they're going to all need to contribute in some way, shape, or form or other. So spreading the ball around obviously worked, getting shots for everyone. We are starting to see some of the younger players start to expand their games. Desmond Bane, while his three-point shooting certainly has been a good sight to see so far this year, he's cutting more. He's getting to the rim more. He's expanding his ability to score at all three levels in the NBA, and that's going to be needed tonight. So for the Grizzlies on offense, you know, facing this Lakers team, who's a good defensive team, though they may be without, they're going to be without Alex Caruso. They may also be without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who certainly has stepped up his defense since his time in Los Angeles. They may be without LeBron James as well. Both LeBron James and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope are, it seems, game-time decisions. But if the Lakers are at full strength, the Grizzlies are going to have to find their shots, and they're going to have to find it successfully. Because the other thing about it is that the Lakers are in the top three of the NBA in terms of rebounds allowed per game. You know, with Anthony Davis and their size, with Mark Gasol and with Montrezl Harrell and LeBron, you know, they've got some size, and they're going to prevent teams from being able to get second looks. So the Grizzlies are really going to have to make the most of their opportunity when it comes to finding good shots. Now, one thing about the Lakers is that they do not cause a lot of turnovers. They are 25th in the league in turnovers forced per game. So the Grizzlies are also going to have to take advantage of not making mistakes. You know, though the Grizzlies did make a few mistakes on Friday night, there were substantially less mistakes, you know, especially in the first half versus Charlotte than there was Boston. But the thing about it is that this Lakers team is a better defensive team overall than Charlotte. They're just not as good at creating turnovers. But the Grizzlies are going to have to take care of the ball. They're going to have to find high percentage looks, and they're going to have to take advantage of them, because the rim is going to be protected in this game by the Lakers, and it's going to be protected for probably 48 minutes. Now, Montrezl Harrell is not that good defensively. Mark Gasol may have lost a step, but they're very smart. But especially with Gasol, they're a very smart players, and of course you got to deal with the defensive dynamo that is Anthony Davis. So the Grizzlies are going to have to find good high percentage shots. They're not going to have as much success more than likely in the paint as they have over the past two games, because the Lakers are just a bigger team than you know, the Nets were, for instance, and Hornets are. But when it comes to the Grizzlies' ability on offense, the specific things that they're going to need to do, everybody's going to have to contribute, whether it's scoring, whether it's passing. But the big thing is trusting the offense, not getting themselves, you know, too quick, but allowing for themselves to find high percentage looks. And just like, you know, we saw in Charlotte Friday night, another big factor is which version of Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark are we going to get? If we get what we got Friday night, and in the second half against the Nets on last Monday night, the Grizzlies are in a good position. That's depth that's being created for this Memphis offense. It's different looks that are being created with Brandon Clark's energy around the basket. That's one thing that seemed to return last Monday against the Nets. This week, Brandon Clark certainly has been more active, and obviously he had very good games in the second half against Brooklyn and against Charlotte on Friday night. So getting Clark and Tyus back to the way, you know, that they can produce, allowing for D'Anthony Melton to work himself back as a passer and secondary creator, the Grizzlies' playmaking ability is really going to have to step up, and it's going to have to be, you know, there's going to have to be contributions from all over to allow for Memphis to have a chance in this game, and hopefully, if a few things work into their favor outside of their control, really have the opportunity to steal one of these games and emerge victorious. But as good as the Lakers are on defense, their calling card is certainly on offense. In the second segment, I'm going to talk about how, while the Lakers' offense certainly may be their calling card, the Grizzlies are starting to come together as a defensive unit, which should give them a little hope, despite being the underdog in these two games. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, and this version of the podcast being called the Nitty Gritty Grind Sessions, just our brief analysis, game preview of upcoming Grizzlies games. We talked about the Grizzlies offense against the Lakers defense in the first part of the show. The Grizzlies offense, they're going to need contributions from everywhere. They're going to need to find ways, whether it be through cuts, whether it be through high percentage looks. You know, hopefully we'll have some success for three. They're going to have to play similar as they did against Charlotte, maybe not as efficient. You know, as I stated, you know, that was only the fifth time the Grizzlies had 14 or more threes and 34 more assists in a game. So they're not going to be that efficient every night, but we've just had wild, polarizing versions of this Grizzlies teams, on opposite ends of the spectrum, two straight games. Hopefully, we start to see a little bit of consistency in which the Grizzlies can play like they did for against Charlotte for long stretches. But the other big part of this team that really is coming together is the defense. We saw it against the Nets on Monday night, that the one-on-one defense, Kyle Anderson on Caris LeVert, Brandon Clark on the perimeter, Jonas Valanciunas' rim protection, and just the overall, you know, cohesion of the defense is really buying into what Taylor Jenkins wants to do, and it made a difference in getting their two wins this past week. But it starts with the Grizzlies, you know, best players right now, and that's Kyle Anderson, that's Jonas Valanciunas, and that's Dylan Brooks. And it's the consistent effort and mentality that those three have. It's starting to set the tone for the Grizzlies. Those three as a three-man lineup, they have played 106 minutes so far this year. They have a positive net rating of 12.7. And the secret to their success when it comes to their net rating is defense. Of the 86 three-man lineup combinations that have played 100 or more minutes this season in the NBA, Valanciunas, Brooks, and Anderson have combined to produce the fifth best defensive rating in the NBA. And that goes a long way. You know, we talk about Kyle Anderson's defense, but Dylan Brooks's effort, and though he still is fouling, his aggressiveness is having a bit of an impact on who he's guarding, but also Valanciunas's improved rim protection, it's really allowing for Memphis to find some success on defense. Yes, that the majority of that success may be against teams that, you know, the Grizzlies, you know, will be competitive against. If the Grizzlies have a stretch in which they play some contenders, those numbers may go up or down. But the big thing is that when the Grizzlies know they have a chance to really win, that's when they play their best defense, and they're consistently given effort, and that's really where they're finding success. Well, of course, tonight against the Lakers, you've got another situation in which they truly are going to be a task for the Grizzlies. So far, the Lakers are top in the NBA when it comes to field goal percentage, though they are only 23rd in three-point attempts per game. They are second in the league in three-point field goal percentage, and they're seventh in two-point field goal percentage. So it's a pick-your-poison type situation for the Grizzlies. If you want to limit them, if you want to limit the Lakers in the paint and at the rim, you better make sure that you have somebody on the outside, because they're going to be able to find shooters who can knock down the three. Now, without Caldwell Pope and LeBron potentially in this game, that will definitely obviously be a big boost for the Grizzlies, but there still is depth on this roster that can make things happen. Dennis Schroeder has been good so far this year. Obviously, at the rim, you know, Marc Gasol's passing. Obviously, at the rim, Anthony Davis and Montrezl Harrell, plus the shooters they have on the outside. I don't think that this Lakers team, you know, just like last year, the depth, I don't think it gets the credit that it deserves. This is a very deep team, and it's a team that really can find success either beyond the arc or at the rim. And just across the board, the Lakers offense is extremely good. And that there's a reason why, you know, they're considered, you know, potential title favorites this season. The Grizzlies obviously are going to get a bit of a boost getting De'Anthony Melton back, as well as getting Xavier Tillman back. Those are two very intelligent, very smart defenders that you're both getting from the perimeter and in the lane. So that certainly should help. As we mentioned, Jonas Valanciunas and Gorgui Dieng have definitely done a great job when it comes to defending the rim so far. But the big thing also about the Grizzlies is that they're going to have to really limit the offensive rebounds from the Lakers as well. The Lakers right now are 10th in the league in offensive rebounding percentage, so they certainly can get second looks. We know how effective Brandon Clark is when he gets second looks for us. We're going to have to prevent the Lakers from being able to get those second looks as well. So the big key tonight is Anderson, Brooks, and Valanciunas continuing their very good defensive play together. De'Anthony Melton hopefully coming back rested and ready to create havoc. The activity of players such as him, Desmond Bain, John Concher, and others, that activity, just being active, just being moving, just contesting shots, deflecting passes, so on and so forth, All of that, as long as it's consistent, at times will disrupt the flow of the offense. So especially if the Lakers are down maybe a LeBron or a KCP or both, that really could be to the Grizzlies' advantage, is their activity on the perimeter when it comes to their defense. And then, of course, Valanciunas and Gorgui Dieng being able to create havoc in the lane, as well as Brandon Clark, you know, being an all-around kind of rover, making the opportunity. But that's the big key. The other big key is the one-on-one defense, you know, really not taking themselves out of plays. That's one thing that I noticed on Friday night that, you know, I did not notice, you know, on Wednesday night, was that the Grizzlies kept themselves in play. If for some reason a defensive play did not work out, the Grizzlies team defense stayed disciplined, they stayed in their spots, and they remained committed to stopping, you know, a very good three-point shooting team in Charlotte from being able to find any sort of rhythm consistently on the outside. So if the Grizzlies can just continue to trust in the team defense, trust in each other, and play to their strengths with Melton and Tillman back, that certainly should add to the depth and also give a big boost, you know, to allow for players to stay fresher, allow for players to stay focused, knowing that they've got that type of defensive talent back in the fold. And I think that this Grizzlies team can find some stretches of success. And that's the big thing about it. It's not just getting the stops. It's also, number one, capitalizing on them, but number two, not letting mistakes ruin the stops that are made. By ruining, what I mean is allowing for offensive rebounds, not going after loose balls, just allowing for, despite you getting a stop on defense, allowing for a team like the Lakers to really outproduce you on hustle plays. Not saying the Grizzlies have let that happen, there's less room of error for letting it happen against the Lakers than most teams. So it's not just getting the defensive stops, it's capitalizing on them by getting defensive rebound, causing turnovers, and getting on the run. Because if the Grizzlies can get on the run with how Tyus Jones played on Friday night, that's another big, big key, especially with Brandon Clark back healthy and De'Anthony Melton now back. The Grizzlies do have some fast break weapons that they can also utilize in creating second chances. Because that's another big thing for this Grizzlies team. The Lakers are going to take advantage of their chances, and they're going to test you to take advantage of your chances. Any extra possession the Grizzlies can get, obviously, will be big in this game, even more so than it normally is. So for the Grizzlies defense, it's staying disciplined, staying on their assignments, creating turnovers where they can, but not taking themselves out of plays. And of course, De'Anthony Melton and Xavier Tillman being back certainly is a big boost. That's it for this version of the Nitty Gritty Grind session. Again, the Grizzlies are going to be underdogs in this game, but as we saw Friday night, if this team can play within itself, trust each other, and just go out and have fun, they know that they have the ability to be competitive despite all the injuries that are out there. Getting Melton, getting Tillman back, and Grayson Allen back is a big boost. Hopefully all three of those will be there tonight. But if the Lakers were to be without KCP, LeBron, or both, that also is a big boost. But in general, with what they can control, if the Grizzlies can find stretches during games, multiple long stretches during games in which they played like they did against Charlotte, they can be in every game that they play, even against the reigning champion Lakers. Excited to see it. Obviously very excited to see Mark Gasol. I'll be talking about that on tomorrow's episode. We've got some special episodes coming up this week talking about Gasol and talking obviously about the Lakers game. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the show wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone. Until next time, hope that you have a great Sunday. Go Grizzlies, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.